God is mindful of the oppressed in all eras. The Lord proclaimed to Moses, Exodus 3:7-8, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God judged oppressors in Egypt who kept Israel in slavery for 430 years. They oppressed the Lord's people, which moved him with compassion. He came down by the hand of Moses to uphold the integrity of his word, to justify the oppressed, and defeat the oppressors. Israel came to full repentance at that time. Exodus 12:40-41, Now the sojourning of the children of Israel, who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Exodus 14:15-16, And the Lord said unto Moses, Lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verses 21-22, And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, and on their left. The waters were a protection for the children of Israel. In the New Testament, the Hebrew writer reminded us how the Lord miraculously destroyed the Egyptian sinners by the waters, and miraculously saved his chosen people by dividing the waters. Hebrews 11:29, By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Exodus 14:31, And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and believed the Lord, and his servant Moses. In the New Testament, Stephen, who was a martyr, reiterated the words that God spoke to Moses in the Old Testament, Acts 7:7, And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth, and serve me in this place. These are the personification of the devil that controls and oppress unregenerate and disobedient people. There are 17 evil works of the flesh. Paul was emphatic, Galatians 5:19-21, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus will not save those who do not repent, and continue to sin. Genesis 4:8, And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. God said, verse 11, And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Remember, when you destroy someone, you also destroy yourself. Those who kill can never be free from that sin except they repent. If the criminal justice system does not convict them in this world, the court of divine justice will convict them. Approximately 50 years ago I met a white man, over 400 miles away from my home, who was selling Bibles. I purchased a Bible from him. He told me that he was a former police officer who resigned from the police department. He had a broken heart because he told me that he killed a black man, and asked me to pray for him. Tears were flowing down his cheeks while he was speaking to me. I prayed for him because I believe that the Spirit of the Lord was striving with him, and gave him a book of sermons, which I had written. The Spirit of the Lord led him to me to pray for him. He did not live long afterward. However, I believe he went home with the Lord because he repented. During that time when I met him, I was fasting and praying, and was happy to be instrumental in winning that soul for Jesus Christ. I believe that he should have been a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save life, and not to destroy it. However, he was not willing to make that sacrifice at that time. King David proclaimed, Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God will not despise a repentant heart. Divine justice came upon Job, who was the military general of the army of Israel. King Solomon commanded Benaiah to slay Job, because he shed innocent blood of two righteous men whom King David, the father of Solomon, esteemed more righteous than he was. King Solomon said, 1 Kings 2:31-32, "That thou mayest take away the innocent blood, which Job shed, from me, and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah." King Solomon did not have mercy on Job because he did not repent. First, and foremost, those evil thoughts of destruction come from the devil and control those who disobey God's will for their lives, and do not have faith in him. Some commit suicide when afflicted. Obviously, there is only one genuine way, in which God will deliver anyone from the evil spirit of oppression. He is able to give us complete deliverance, spiritual, psychological, physical, and economical deliverance when we obey, and put all of our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus warned believers, St. Luke 21:36, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." King David proclaimed, Psalm 20:1-2, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Send thee help from the sanctuary." David continues, Psalm 21:2, "Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips." Selah. God protected and defended David and Solomon. They did not die in warfare. Peter declared, Acts 10:38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." In the ministry of Jesus on earth, he healed those who repented and asked him for help. Christ has power to heal the oppressed in all eras. These are the words of the Lord, which he spoke to Moses after the Lord delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. Deuteronomy 24:14-15, "Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren, or of thy strangers that are in thy land, thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee." There is a difference between volunteer service and hired service. Many instances, those who do volunteer work help the needy, requiring no financial compensation from those to whom they serve. Those who work for wages earn their money, which is their livelihood for the service they render to others. God emphasized to Moses to tell Israel not to oppress the poor who work for wages. Regardless of race, gender, national origin, and ethnicity, we should all recognize one another's humanity, obey God's word, love one another, and give respect and justice without oppression. God spoke to Moses to instruct those who oppress the poor, reminding them of their past bondage in Egypt. King Solomon said, Proverbs 14:31, "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoureth him hath mercy on the poor." No government or individual should financially afflict the poor and working class. They are the most vulnerable people in our society. God will not continuously bless that nation. Verse 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." A white supremacist brought our nation to shame when he murdered 9 black Americans during Bible study, merely because they were black. He displayed the rebel flag, which symbolizes the evil doings of ignorant slave owners. Initially, God created and mixed all humans with one blood. The mystery of God is that no race should be superior to another. He integrated all nations and gave them one language. Genesis 11:1, and the whole earth was of one language, and of one speech. There were no divisions among them. They lived in unity in one geographical location. Paul wrote, Romans 12:3, for I say, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Those who disobeyed God caused that heinous sin. The wise preacher, Solomon, proclaimed, Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. God understands when evil people take away your rights because of your color, gender, ethnicity, or national origin. However, you must humble yourselves and repent of wrongdoings, and pray unto God as the children of Israel prayed in their afflictions. When others reject and abase us because of our color, it is a blessing in disguise, because God always chooses the humble, and abase the haughty. If anyone takes away your rights, God said that he would judge them. We can rest assured that the word of God shall come to pass. The Israelites were praying people, and God came to answer their prayers. He promised Israel a physical and spiritual deliverance from Egypt. The hard bondage wherein they made them to serve brought them to full repentance. We need true ministers who will stand up for holiness, preaching the truth and defying sin. When Moses received his message from God, he rebuked Pharaoh and his taskmasters for evil and treating God's people by slavery. It is God's will that all humanity be free, and justice given to them in this present world. God has his eyes on America. He is waiting for them to give social and economic justice to all Americans. We are not expecting a handout. Many of us work extraordinarily hard. Race should never be a factor. Currently, many fight legislations that would give economic and social justice to all humanity. The prophet Hanani said to King Asa, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to shew himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. My prayer is that God would show mercy to our nation, and that wars will cease. However, when God is incensed against our nation, and other nations, this will be the consequence of his indignation when he stands up for righteous people who cannot defend themselves. Psalm 110:5-6, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen, he shall fill the places with the dead bodies, he shall wound the heads over many countries. The heads are the leaders of many nations, including ours. God has a set time in which he will judge those who oppress the poor and needy. Psalm 12:5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Before the end of time, the Lord will rise up against the whole world, and authorities, that oppress poor righteous people. Pharaoh was an example for all humanity who refuses to let God's people be free from racial and economic injustice. Exodus 5:2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. We have in our system some who have an opportunity to relieve the oppressed. However, they do not, because they do not care about the oppressed. Wealthy people have special protection. The wise preacher, King Solomon said, Proverbs 14:20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Our legal system should implement laws to protect our poor children in their communities from weapons, and drug dealers shooting them to death. Jeremiah was prophetic, Jeremiah 9:21, for death is come up into our windows, and is entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. It does not matter where you live, whether you are elite, or in poverty, the results are the same. Drug overdoses and guns destroy young and old people. Those who create drugs should receive the harshest sentence. Isaiah was clear, and declared, Isaiah 5:21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. God is expecting each individual to seek his wisdom and understanding, and give justice and equity to all races. Our nation has come a long way. Owning slaves is not legal. However, they have problems giving justice, equity, and equal pay for all. These are the immortal words of Jesus Christ concerning freedom and justice for some, and bondage for others. St. Mark 3:24-25, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Jesus demands justice for all humanity. If there is liberty for some, and injustice for others, there is division, in which our nation and all other nations cannot stand in peace. The world must realize that the word of God is against the sin of oppression. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt and the Egyptians were free. They were a divided nation, and God brought destruction upon Pharaoh and the Egyptian sinners because of their hostile injustices against his people. All of you who desire eternal life must learn to be colorblind. Paul emphasized, Acts 17:24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth." Verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation." That scripture teaches us that God took one blood and made all nations. Therefore, he mixed all humans. This is the wisdom of God that no race will be superior to another in his sight. Verse 28, "For in him we live, and move, and have our being." Verse 27, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Paul continues, verse 25, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, and breath, and all things." God does not need us. We need him. Our life depends upon his breath of life. All nations are one before him. God does not classify humanity according to their academics, wealth, or racial background. Human classifications and wealth depreciate and divide the integrity of righteous people. Social laws define poor people as low degree when you live in certain localities. King David articulated, Psalm 62:9, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." Isaiah said, Isaiah 40:6-7, "The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass." That is a powerful analogy of how frail human life is. Let us not exalt ourselves above others. Remember, the word of God shall stand. God says, "All flesh is grass," and he exalts the humble. Jesus said, St. Luke 14:11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." St. Matthew 27:32, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross." The best day of Simon's entire life was the day they compelled him to help Jesus carry his cross. He was a believer in Jesus Christ our Lord. He was approximately 800 miles away from home. Wherefore, divine leadership led him that way. He was a dark-skinned man chosen by God to help Jesus carry his cross. The chief priest, elders, and Romans rejected and despised him just as Jesus was. Isaiah prophesied concerning Jesus, Isaiah 53:2-3, "When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." The word of God will forever remember Simon's help to Jesus. The Lord gave him salvation and victory, because that was the day in which he helped Jesus bear his cross. Jesus said, St. Luke 14:27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Jesus' cross was his cross as well. Jesus said in his prayers, St. Matthew 6:10, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Paul encouraged Titus to teach believers godliness and sobriety. Titus 2:12, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, in this present world. The New Testament Hebrew writer revealed that Jesus was human and divine, and gave his life for believers of all times. He also gave his life to destroy the power of the devil's family who are unbelievers. Hebrews 2:14, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. St. Matthew 27:52-53, And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. When Jesus died, and God raised him from the dead, his blood atoned for believers in all times. He defeated sin and death. Verse 51, And, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That was the beginning of the division between the Old and New Testaments. The New Testament is his blood, shed on the cross that day. Freedom from death is a promise of eternal life for those who obey God's word, and whom he regenerated. In the world to come there will be no more curse. The Spirit of Jesus Christ revealed to John, Revelation 22:3, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Revelation 21:4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 24, And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Conclusion, let me be clear and emphatic, there will be no sinners in heaven, only the redeemed of all nations. King David proclaimed, Psalm 16:10, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption.